Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see all of you present with us, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. As you saw, I was passing out papers to you. Some of you have ones that are marked, and when we get to the gospel reading, this will be our gospel today. If you have something that is marked, I need you to be really loud, and I need the people who are Jesus and the man born blind to come forward. The rest of you can just read loudly from where you are, okay? And if you have one that is not marked, then you can just follow along, okay? We do have some announcements. First of all, our volunteers for the food pantry this week are Linda and Ernie Champlin and Buck Gilbert. At 10 a.m. here on Tuesday, we have our Bible study where we are watching the episode of The Chosen that we will be discussing at the Soup Supper on Wednesday. So Tuesday, we will watch an episode of The Chosen. On Wednesday, 6:15, is the Soup Supper over at Union Congregational. Soup Supper, 6:15, and 7 o'clock is worship. This church is going to be bringing desserts. So please check the sign-ups sheet to see if we still are in need of desserts. Thursday at 1 p.m., Bell Choir will be practicing here. Friday at 10 a.m., we've been invited over to St. Luke's Episcopal Church to hear Paintings with a Life-Changing Story presented by Louise Anderson. So that's over at the Episcopal Church. Also, Dean has asked me to remind you that we are scheduled to do the home-delivered meals in April. There is a sign-up sheet. There are some spots available, so please check that and see whether or not you are able to be part of that outreach. Do we have any other announcements?
I just wanted to check out the coffee corner. There's
some new things over in the coffee corner. So if you don't like coffee, I'm not a coffee drinker, but there is tea, there's chocolate, there's almonds, or a number of other things. These are fair trade items. So we'd love to have you check out the coffee corner. Any other announcements? Yes, he did. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Any other announcements? If not, please listen to our bell choir as they play Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bell Choir, for adding to our worship this way. And in the pews, you will see little cards that you can use to provide us with a change of address. If you're a visitor, to provide us with your contact information. It is also going to be a way for you to request prayer, or if you need a visit from me or anything like that, you can just write it down on those little cards. And you will see that we're going back to passing our offering plates. So if you would like to put those cards in the plate along with the offering at that time, that would be a good time to get that to us. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who brings us safely through the sea, who gives us water from the rock, who leads us into the land of milk and honey. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For self-centered living and for failing to walk with humility and gentleness, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For longing to have what is not ours, and for hearts that are not at rest with ourselves, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For misuses of human relationships, and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For jealousies that divide families and nations, and for rivalries that create strife and warfare, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For reluctance in sharing the gifts of God, and for carelessness with the fruits of creation, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For hurtful words that condemn, and for angry deeds that harm, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. For idleness in witnessing to Jesus Christ, and for squandering the gifts of love and grace, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, God cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together for our gathering hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 879. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look upon his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 23 in unison, please. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes thee down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The second reading is from the 5th chapter of Ephesians. "Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
Two people who are playing the man and Jesus to come forward, and the rest of you can speak from your seats. Our gospel is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. One Sabbath, as Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Did this man or his parents sin? You were blind so that God's work might be revealed. You must do the works of the one who sent you while it is day. Night is coming and no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Jesus spat on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
"Go, wash in the pool of Siloam."
The man born blind went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, they brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been blind. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him, his parents answered this way because they were afraid of the religious leaders, who had agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So for a second time, the religious leaders called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
"Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
Jesus heard that they had driven the man out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him."
"You have seen him, and I'm speaking with you this evening."
"Lord, I believe. I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see may become blind."
The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That could have been the song of the man born blind. We're told as Jesus was walking, he saw a man born blind. He did not continue walking, but stopped. His disciples, looking at the man, asked who had sinned, the man or his parents. They were not looking at the man. They were looking at his blindness and his perceived sin. Jesus saw the man, a lost sheep. He saw his suffering, his pain, his exclusion. He stoops down and makes a paste out of the dirt with his saliva, perhaps recalling how God created human beings out of the mud back in the first part of Genesis. He gives this man a new beginning. The man feels Jesus' touch as mud is spread on his eyes, and he hears Jesus' voice telling him to go wash. He does so, and Jesus fades from the scene. This man has been an outsider all of his life. He has not had a family outside of his parents and any siblings. He's not been allowed inside the temple, for the blind and the lame are excluded from the temple. And he may have even been denied access to the synagogue. And what happens when he goes to the pool and washes? No angels, no thundering voice from heaven. This is a quiet miracle. But what wonder must have been expressed on his face as he cupped the water over his eyes repeatedly and washed and opened them. He could see. This man who has never seen anything in his whole life can see. Imagine seeing for the first time, looking around at everything for the first time, seeing the light of the sun, not just feeling its warmth, seeing everything as having beauty. Like that first hymn that we sang, "For the Beauty of the Earth," just seeing everything is beautiful. And then he's questioned by so many people about what happened. He tells them that he's been healed, and by whom? And what does the world tell him? That he is a sinner. That the man who healed him was a sinner. They want to see ugliness rather than beauty. As his understanding of the miracle and the identity of the healer deepens, so does their blindness. He confesses who Jesus is, and they throw him out. He's brought to the Pharisees to ask what's going on, and now we hear the division of opinion about Jesus. And they ask the man born blind what he thinks about him. He proclaims him a prophet. And there is no evidence that Jesus broke the law as much as they say that he did. For they're dealing with an oral law rather than the written law. Jesus is breaking man's law, not God's law. They ask him to tell the truth that this man who healed him is a sinner. And he answers that what he knows for sure is that he was blind and now he sees. And they ask him again what Jesus has done, and the man assumes control of the situation. He says, I told you, and you wouldn't listen. Do you want to become his disciples? Do you want to go follow him? And their response, we are disciples of Moses. They get angry at him. And the man says that if Jesus were not from God, he would be unable to do anything. They get really angry. They call him a sinner. They throw him out. They can't deal with the reality of what's happened. So they attack him. The man's parents don't stand up for him. They're too afraid of being excommunicated from the synagogue to speak up. And after he's thrown out on what should be the happiest day of his life, the day when everything is restored, the day when he's able to be back in community, the day he's thrown out, Jesus searches for him and finds him. Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man. And the man who has been healed says, and who is he so that I may believe in him? This is his first time seeing Jesus. He's heard Jesus. He's felt his touch, but he's never seen him before. Jesus responds, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And the man responds, Lord, I believe, and worships him. Jesus says, I come into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. This man has spent his entire life being blind, navigating the darkness. He encounters the one who is light, who brings him out of both a physical and a spiritual darkness. He sees with clarity what the Pharisees, what his neighbors, and what his family do not. These signs and wonders, these miracles performed by Jesus, are not done so that people will place their trust and faith in Jesus. They are invitations to the possibilities of a new, more abundant life, the life of the kingdom. This man's eyes are opened. Think back to Adam and Eve, how their eyes were opened in a different way. Well, this is a new creation. Using the dust from which humans were made. Think back to Ash Wednesday when we talk about dust to dust. Jesus uses these elements to bring life and light. And we see, as happened with the woman at the well last week, that he doesn't understand immediately, this man who was born blind. He doesn't understand perfectly as soon as his eyes are opened. There's a growth of understanding that takes place. First, he knows this man's name, Jesus. When pressed, he calls him a prophet. Later, he confesses that he's from God. And when he has a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, he confesses faith in the Son of Man. We can think back to Isaiah, who talks repeatedly about the one who is coming, who is going to open the eyes of the blind. And he's talking more about spiritual blindness and physical blindness, that it is a sign that the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is being ushered in. Those who are spiritually blind receive the light of Christ's word, and by the Spirit working in them, their eyes are open and they can see. What happened to the Pharisees? The light was so blinding that they shut their eyes and refused to see, and that is what Jesus is warning against. So on what should have been the happiest day of his life, the day when this man was given the ability to become a full member of the community, he was cast out of the synagogue. In his time of pain and loss, his parents refused to stand up for him. His friends failed to recognize him. It is at this point that Jesus comes to him and offers him a better and deeper relationship to replace what has been lost. His identity has been changed from beggar to witness to disciple. In some ways, it echoes that first reading. Remember back to that just a few minutes ago? Saul has been rejected as the king. And Samuel has been asked to go and anoint a new king. And so he goes and he looks at the handsome strapping sons of Jesse. And he looks at the oldest one and thinks, this must be the one that the Lord has chosen. And he's told, no, God has rejected that one. He looks at the second one and says, well, surely this must be the one. And the Lord says, no, I've rejected him too. He goes through seven of Jesse's sons, all the sons that Jesse has thought fit to present to the prophet, who then says, are these all of your sons? And Jesse says, well, there's one more, the youngest, but he's out there taking care of the sheep. Pretty much, you don't want him. And he, of course, is the one, David. We are told, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Do we see simply as mortals see? Or do we see with the eyes of the heart? Now that our lives have been illumined by the one who is light, can we see? Or do we put up our hands blinded by that light and reject it? Can we look, as that blind man must have done, at the beauty that surrounds us, the beauty of the earth? Or do we want to just see ugliness? Can we say, as that blind man must have, I once was blind, but now I see? Can we say with him, what amazing grace? And can we say with the writer of our hymn of the day that no matter what happens, all is well with our soul? I've told the story of our hymn of the day before, When Peace Like a River, and how the person who wrote this had suffered such great tragedy in his life. To have his son die, to have his business fail, and then to have the ship on which his daughters were traveling and his wife as well go down. And he travels on that ship and is told by the captain, this is the spot where that vessel went down. This is the spot when your daughters died. And to be able to say then, it is well with my soul. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, When Peace Like a River, number 785.
Thank you.
let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
Eternal God, you seal us by the Holy Spirit and mark us with the cross of Christ forever in baptism. Inspire us by your love as together we strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
creating God, by your word you have made all things, and you hate nothing you have made. Teach us to perceive the beauty of the breadth of your creation, from the grandest mountain range to the smallest springtime bud. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Powerful God, you anoint kings and establish rulers. Guide the work of the heads of state and elected officials. Encourage them to lead with justice and to remove barriers that impede the well-being of all. Merciful God,
shepherding God, you lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. Keep watch over those who weep. Tend all who are sick and comfort those who grieve, especially those who are listed on our prayer chain and those we name aloud in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
God, our host, you fill us at your table with more than we could ever ask. Feed us with hunger for justice. Equip the feeding ministries of this congregation and community. Nourish us so that we can nourish our neighbors. Merciful God,
God of history, with thanksgiving we remember our ancestors in faith who cared for your people. We praise you for the ways they form the faith of others and continue to inspire us. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and offerings. Let us now sing our offertory song, Create in Me a Clean.